Chapter 54. Harry sat on the floor between Draco's legs, watching Victoria play with Lyssa. As no one else trusted the snakes, unable to speak with them, Victoria hadn't been allowed to play with Lyssa for over a week. She was giggling and obviously happy to have her play partner back. Harry was simply happy to relax. He tilted his head back to look at Draco, sitting in the chair behind him. "What are you doing?" he asked curiously. "Talking to Granger," Draco answered absently, his attention focused on his bracelet. Harry's eyebrows rose, but Draco didn't even notice his surprise. Harry shot Blaise a questioning look. Blaise was lounging comfortably in one of the other chairs in the drawing room. He was clearly amused, but shrugged to indicate that he had no idea what Draco was doing. Harry glanced at Crabbe and Goyle, quietly playing a game of chess on the other side of the room. They clearly wouldn't have any idea why Draco was talking to Hermione. "They're here because they have nowhere else to go," Blaise said quietly. It took Harry a moment to switch thought processes. "Nowhere safe," he said in realization. "They went against their families," Blaise agreed. Harry looked at Blaise sharply. "Why are you here?" "I'm just visiting," Blaise assured. "My mom is safe. I went to see her, but I came back here to help." "Help with what?" Harry asked curiously. He didn't have a clue as to what had been happening while he'd been out of it the week before. Blaise smiled ruefully. "I've been helping Lupin," he admitted. Harry's brows raised in surprise. "With you in the hospital wing, the others at the ministry, all the Slytherins here, Lupin was running himself into the ground trying to be everywhere at once," Blaise explained. "Reporters, officials, owls, it was a crazy week." "Oh," Harry said, feeling suddenly guilty. Not that there was much he could have done. "I helped Lupin get everyone back home again, helping to explain everything to their families," Blaise continued. "We also packed up Victoria and sent her to the Weasleys." "Been over there yourself a lot?" Harry asked dryly. Blaise smirked. "Yes, Ginny and I are together," he admitted. "But no, I haven't really been there much. I've spent some time there, though, as Draco insisted I report on how they were treating Victoria," he added, rolling his eyes. Harry shook his head in exasperation, not surprised. Remus had said it was Narcissa's idea for Victoria to spend time with the Weasleys, not Draco's. "I've spent more time here with Crabbe and Goyle, sorting through all the incoming post," Blaise said. He gave Harry a sly look. "You've had some interesting marriage proposals, amongst other things." Harry grinned as Draco's fingers carted through his hair. He was obviously at least half listening. "I've already burned them," Draco drawled. Schooling his features, Harry tilted his head back, looking at Draco upside down. "What if I wanted to read them?" he asked innocently. Draco's legs suddenly locked around his chest, trapping him. "You go about reading marriage proposals, and I'll feed you to your snakes," Draco threatened. Harry started laughing. "Draco, you are sorely out of practice with your threats." Draco scowled at him. "It was easier when I actually wanted to hurt you. All my usual threats don't work anymore. And if I try to punish you, I'll only be punishing myself." "Aw, poor Draco," Harry said sympathetically. "See if I invite your friends over here again," Draco muttered. Harry blinked in astonishment, twisting to his knees so he could face Draco. "That's why you were talking to Hermione?" "Yes, and letting her know that you're finally awake," Draco said dryly. Harry winced. He hadn't even thought to contact his friends yet. He'd only been awake for a couple of hours, but didn't think Hermione would accept that as a good excuse. "I don't reckon she's very happy with me, is she?" he said. "Not particularly, no," Draco drawled. "Your bad habits are making me look better, though." Harry stared at him, not quite sure what to make of that. "That's a good thing?" he asked. It is for you, Draco said pointedly. I don't personally care to be in Granger's good graces. Harry moved so that he was straddling Draco's lap and rewarding him with a very pleasant snog. Harry! Startled at Hermione's happy shout, Harry pulled back, causing Draco to groan in frustration. Don't you two ever stop? Ginny asked curiously, propping herself on the edge of Blaise's chair. We just started, Draco said irritably. I didn't expect you to show up instantaneously. That's the wonder of magic, Ginny pointed out cheerfully, as Blaise pulled her down onto his lap. How did you get here? Harry asked. Through the flue, of course, Ginny answered. Harry scowled at her. I didn't mean that, he said. Who let you in here? Over the weekend, Lupin had already talked Snape into allowing them past the wards. Blaise said, We were just waiting for you to wake up, Hermione said. Lupin was in the kitchen when we flew in and directed us up here. Oh, Harry said. Well, I'm glad you've come. He was watching Ron. His poor friend didn't seem to know where to look. He'd cast a resigned glance at Harry and Draco, an irritated scowl at Ginny and Blaise. There'd clearly been some conflict regarding that relationship over the last week. A bewildered but somewhat horrified glance at Crabbe and Goyle playing chess. A surprised glance at the blank wall where the Black family tree had been. A nervous look at Lyssa, still playing with Victoria. His eyes continued to dart about the room, taking in all the changes from when he'd last seen it. Hermione sat down in one of the chairs, also taking in her surroundings, but dismissing them quickly. "Harry, how are you feeling?" she asked. "You're looking so much better." "I feel great," Harry said, grinning. He pecked Draco on the mouth before sliding back to sit on the floor at his feet. Staying on Draco's lap was not the best idea with the company they had in the room. "Are you sure we're in Grimmauld Place?" Ron blurted out. "What kind of stupid question is that?" Draco retorted. "You wouldn't think it was a stupid question if you'd seen this place before," Harry said. Ron joined Harry on the floor, sitting by Hermione. "I reckon the size and number of rooms is the same," he said, "but that's about the only similarity I'm seeing." "Was it really that different?" Blaise questioned dubiously. "Yes." Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Ginny answered in unison. Harry caught Crabbe and Goyle's startled gazes and motioned for them to join the rest of them, much to the surprise of everyone else. He didn't feel right, though, leaving them out. They pulled up their own chairs, finishing off the circle. "Lyssa, bring Victoria back over here," Harry hissed. "Yes, master." He watched the currently lime green snake slither in a circle around Victoria before weaving towards Harry. The drawing room wasn't quite as Victoria-proof as the nursery. Ron abruptly stood, grabbing another chair. Harry simply smirked at him, before returning his attention to Snake and Baby. "Keep her within this area," he hissed. "I can't keep an eye on her if you're behind everyone."
"Well, isn't this cozy?" Draco said, sounding mildly disgusted. Harry decided not to point out that he was feeling quite comfortable, especially considering the fact that Draco was carting his fingers through his hair and gently massaging his scalp. Most likely he didn't even realize he was doing it, but it was definitely helping Harry relax in the admittedly odd grouping in which they suddenly found themselves. Hermione cleared her throat.
"The house really does look different," she said, getting back to their earlier conversation.
Ron snorted. "Yeah, no house elf heads, no troll's legs, no Mrs. Black," he added pointedly. Ron, Hermione, and Ginny's eyes automatically went to the blank wall where the tapestry had been, as it fit the same category.
"How did you get them down?" Hermione asked. "We tried everything."
I killed them," Harry reluctantly admitted.
"You killed them?" Ginny asked, as if she'd misheard him.
Yeah, Harry said. He explained to them what had happened with the portrait, Hermione looking more horrified by the second. So you did the same with the tapestry? Ron asked, his face twisted. Harry glanced back at Draco. Malfoy did it?
No, I did it, Harry said. But I did it with Draco's wand.
That's how you knew you could use his wand against Voldemort, Hermione said in realization, but she still looked disturbed.
Yes, Harry said quietly.
What's the deal with the rest of the house? Ginny asked, steering the topic away before Hermione could say any more about it. It's bloody comfortable here now.
I understand better why you've been calling it home, Hermione admitted.
Harry shrugged. Winky did most of it, and a lot of it was purchased new. Ironically, I think some of this furniture is Narcissa's, a different branch of the Black family, but she's brought some of the heirlooms into the house.
I didn't think you'd noticed, Draco said in surprise.
I haven't paid that much attention, Harry admitted, but I know some of this stuff wasn't here before. These tables aren't the same ones that started in here, and the new cutlery with the Black family crest was kind of hard to miss. Knowing your mum, I just assumed it was one of those tradition things.
Draco sniggered.
Probably, he agreed.
Are you and your parents moving back into Malfoy Manor now? Hermione asked Draco.
Harry blinked, turning sideways to look at Draco.
You can now, can't you? He said in realization.
Not yet, Draco said bitterly. The manor has been used by the Dark Lord and his followers over the past year. The Ministry has to conduct all of their investigations first before we're allowed to go back.
Harry stared at him, unsure if Draco was upset with Voldemort, the Ministry, or both. Was Draco anxious to move back to his home? Harry had forgotten that this entire arrangement at Grimmauld Place was temporary. Severus had said he had a home as well. Remus had also been living somewhere else before the summer. Draco ranted about the Ministry and Voldemort, and Harry thought about how much the manor meant to Draco. Harry had just gained Grimmauld Place as a home. The manor had always been home to Draco. Harry didn't particularly want to live there after they left school, but he could definitely respect that Draco would want to.
Kingsley will do his best to make sure it gets sorted out as quickly as possible, he said, when Draco paused in his rant. I'm sorry it won't get sorted out before we go to Hogwarts, but I reckon we'll be able to spend the holidays there.
Could you sound any more enthusiastic about it?
Draco asked sarcastically.
Sorry, no, it sounds great, Harry said, trying to interject some excitement into his voice. I'm curious to learn more about your home, seeing where you've grown up. It's not like I had much of an opportunity to look around the last time I was there.
Ugh, you really want to move into Malfoy Manor with this git? Ron asked.
It's Draco's home, Ron, Harry said, his eyes flashing a warning at Ron. I've not technically been invited yet, but I don't have a problem with living there.
He didn't feel like dealing with the name-calling that could potentially turn vicious quickly when it involved Draco and Ron. There was no telling how Draco would react to anything detrimental being said about the manor. Ron ignored the warning, or didn't notice.
But I thought you've said this was your home. It's loads better than it was before, and I thought you wanted to live here now.
Draco's fingers had stilled their soothing motions, and Harry could feel the tension radiating from him.
This is nice, Harry said, feeling trapped between Ron and Draco. He knew it had just struck Draco that Harry wasn't as thrilled as he was at the idea of eventually moving into the manor, and Harry didn't want it to come between them. But he didn't want to outright lie to Ron either, who obviously understood how much gaining a home meant to Harry.
It's not like it's really home, though, he continued. I've only lived here, well, actually it's only been about a month or so. It was just the safest place over the summer.
We can live anywhere we want now.
And you're choosing Malfoy Manor? Ron asked in disbelief. Where you know who was living?
Ron! Hermione hissed, elbowing her boyfriend sharply to get his attention.
Stop it!
Stop what? Ron asked. I was only asking why Harry didn't want to live here now.
Hermione was gazing at Harry with understanding and sympathy. Ginny was glaring at Ron. Blaise's expression was carefully blank, but his eyes were on Draco. Crabbe and Goyle, well, Harry wasn't sure there was anything careful about their blank expressions. They appeared about as clueless as Ron as to the fight that was brewing between Harry and Draco, the fight Harry was trying desperately to avoid. He was afraid to look back at Draco. When the silence became too much to bear, he tilted his head, looking up at Draco through his fringe. Draco was rigid, his jaw clenched.
Draco, I really don't mind if we live at Malfoy Manor, Harry said.
But I'm considered a selfish prick for wanting to live there, Draco said through gritted teeth.
The manor's always been home to you, and it's not selfish to want to go back and reclaim it, he continued. It's not selfish to want to give Victoria her heritage.
And what do you get out of it, Harry? Draco asked.
Why is this home, Draco? Harry demanded.
Because you're here, and Victoria, because Severus and Remus are here. But they'll be gone, and your parents will be back at the manor.
For someone who has everything, you lose out a lot, Draco muttered.
Harry blew the fringe out of his eyes. What the hell was he supposed to say? He only just got a family and a home. He would miss having all of them together. Surprising as it was, he would actually miss Grimmauld Place itself. It would be wonderful if they could all continue living there, but it wasn't practical.
If I get to come with you, then I haven't lost, he finally said.
I don't want you resenting me for forcing you to live at the manor instead of here, Draco said, glaring at him.
You two don't have to decide on anything now, Hermione interjected quietly.
Dad has said that they won't have the manor cleared before the new term starts at Hogwarts, Ginny added. You've got months to decide where to spend the Christmas holidays, and where to live once you've left school.
They're still trying to deal with the Death Eater trials and clean up after the battle, Hermione said. It's going to take time.
Harry latched onto the change of subject.
Tell me about the battle, he said. I know everyone was able to successfully drive the Dementors away, as I could see and feel that, but I don't know much else.
I don't know precisely what he has planned, but you should be happy to know that Shacklebolt intends to finally do something about the Dementors, Hermione said. We've got a minister that will actually follow Dumbledore's advice.
Good, Harry said, satisfied. Were any of you hurt? I know Severus was, but he seems all right now.
Blaise and I managed to stay hidden with Fred and George the entire time, Ginny said. It was terrifying at first, just waiting, but then we were so busy that we didn't have time to see much of anything.
Ron got hurt, Hermione said.
Ron blushed a bright red. We don't have to talk about it, he muttered.
What happened? Harry asked.
He stepped in front of a curse that was aimed at me, Hermione said, gazing at Ron proudly.
Harry glanced curiously between the two. Something was off with their reactions.
Ginny made a noise, and Harry looked over at her and Blaise to find them both attempting to suppress laughter.
Ron?
It was nothing, Ron said.
It was too something, Hermione said indignantly. You protected me.
He did get hit by a pretty nasty cutting curse, Ginny said, but the worst of his injuries was when he fell and managed to knock himself out when he hit his head on a rock.
It's not funny, Hermione snapped.
It wasn't at the time, Ginny agreed, but now most of us are wondering how closely Ron is related to Tonks. Harry allowed himself to grin when Ron smiled sheepishly.
At least I didn't get attacked by any brains this time, he said. I thought you did splendidly, Hermione said, leaning over to kiss him on the cheek.
Good thing Hermione had you looking out for her, Ron, Harry said.
Ron managed to look both embarrassed and incredibly pleased. Harry was beginning to realize that what Ginny and Blaise found so amusing was Hermione's gushing and Ron's reaction to it. Harry wasn't happy to hear that Ron had been injured, but he was happy to see his best friends becoming even closer because of it. Ron was Hermione's hero.
Harry glanced up at his own hero, only to see him sulking. He sighed, deciding it was best to leave Draco alone for the time being.
What about you two? He asked Crabbe and Goyle. You do all right?
They shrugged and nodded.
Daphne cast the Patronus, Crabbe said. We brought down a couple of Death Eaters, Goyle said proudly.
Blaise snorted.
Yeah, they didn't bother using their wands, he said. A couple of Death Eaters tried to make a break for it, and Crabbe and Goyle simply tackled them, knocking them out.
Why didn't you use your wands? Harry asked, not sure if he wanted to hear the answer.
Crabbe shrugged. It was easier to fight them without a wand, he said. They were running directly past the trees where we were hiding, and we just jumped them as they went to run past.
Harry opened his mouth to say it would have been easier to stun the Death Eaters in that case, but maybe for them it was easier the way they'd done it.
Whatever worked.
Good for you, he said. He received wide grins for the praise. He smiled in return. The two hulking Slytherins were growing on him. They weren't so bad when they weren't trying to beat him up.
So what happened with everyone else? He asked.
Tonks was the one Polly used as pansy, Ginny said. I don't know how she manages it, but she did great during the battle. Afterwards, though, she kept tripping over Death Eaters lying around.
Most everyone received injuries of some kind, Hermione said. There was some fierce fighting going on. We are really lucky that no one died. Not on our side, at any rate.
Were there Death Eaters killed? Harry asked, mildly surprised.
The others exchanged glances.
Greyback was the only one outright killed, Ron said.
Did Remus kill him?
Ron shook his head.
Harry's eyes widened.
Bill killed him then?
No, Ron answered, tilting his head curiously. Did you see them fighting or something?
Yeah, but I didn't exactly have time to stand around and watch, Harry said. Remus and Bill were the ones fighting him, though, and they both had motivation to kill him.
Hermione was looking a little ill.
I can't believe you can talk so calmly about killing people, she said.
Greyback deserved to die, Draco said harshly.
Harry glanced up at him sharply.
Did he do something to you? He demanded.
To me personally? Draco asked rhetorically.
No, he didn't. But he was evil. He was the type of person people think of when they think of Death Eaters. Vicious, cruel, no mercy. The Dark Lord admired his lack of heart, he added bitterly.
And you let him into Hogwarts, Ron muttered.
Draco ground his teeth together.
I didn't know he would be there, he said. I made some stupid mistakes, but even I wasn't stupid enough to knowingly allow Greyback into Hogwarts. I'm happy he's dead.
Who killed him? Harry asked quickly. He wanted to know, but he also wanted the conversation turned from this topic before things escalated any further.
Snape killed him, Hermione answered, shuddering. He was more furious than I've ever seen him.
Harry exchanged glances with Draco. They could guess what Snape had looked like.
He was furious that Voldemort had trapped you, she continued. Well, I'm not sure how it happened exactly, but he obviously spotted Bill and Lupin dueling with Greyback and some other Death Eater who had joined the fight. He couldn't kill Voldemort for you, but he could kill Greyback for Lupin.
It was terrifying, mate, Ron said.
I'm sure it was, Harry agreed absently, picturing the events on the tower and interposing it with what they were describing from the final battle. The room was quiet for a minute before Hermione spoke up again. "There were a few who died from injuries," she said. "When you killed Voldemort, all of the Death Eaters went down. The screaming was horrifying, with so many people in pain, but it didn't last long as they all fell unconscious." Harry remembered that part all too clearly. "I didn't know that was going to happen," he said. Hermione's gaze was sympathetic. "I know you didn't," she said. "It was unexpected for all of us. No one knew what was happening at first. We were fighting. Then all the Death Eaters collapsed. And then..." It was creepy because there was this silence. "For several seconds," Ginny agreed. "It was so strange. I was looking around at everything, but nothing was making sense. I couldn't see you or Voldemort. I didn't know if it was safe to take the cloak off." "Then Lupin shouted your name," Hermione said. "I couldn't see you at first, but he'd spotted you. You were hidden under Draco, under the cloak." "Draco saved my life," Harry said softly. "And I reckon Fred and George saved Draco. Without the cloak, I'm not sure either of us would have survived. I was focused on killing Voldemort, but he tried killing me at the same time. I saw the flash of the killing curse coming at me, but Draco shoved me out of the way, and I don't remember much after that. But I'm here, and Draco's here, so the cloak must have blocked the curse." Draco's fingers were gently rubbing the nape of his neck. Harry glanced up at him. "It doesn't much matter where we live, does it?" Draco said. "We're both alive, and that's what matters." "If we can survive Voldemort, surely we can sort out where we're going to live," Harry agreed. "No one was sure at first if you had survived or not," Hermione said, swallowing heavily. "Shacklebolt shouted out that Voldemort was dead, but we didn't know what had happened to you two, and all the Death Eaters. I thought you were dead, Harry," she said, her eyes bright. "But I'm not," Harry said. "It's all right, Hermione." Hermione sniffed and nodded. Ginny picked up the story. "Blaise and Fred were close, and got to you about the same time as Lupin," she said. "I swear, Fred and George have some form of tracking spell on that cloak, because George seemed to know exactly where to go. Either that, or he's just more tuned into Fred than I've realized. He grabbed my hand as we ran. He seemed to know exactly where you were in all the chaos. By the time we got there, Lupin was trying to revive you, and Blaise and Fred were trying to revive Draco." She continued. Her voice was unsteady. "You were both so pale, and you weren't moving. Lupin said you were alive. He checked both of you. But nothing he was doing was reviving either of you." She paused, and Blaise took up the telling. "Lupin had Ginny and I take you to Hogwarts through the Vanishing Cabinet," he said. "We took you straight to Madame Pomfrey. I don't know how long it was, but eventually she said the two of you were stable. Lupin and the twins showed up with Snape, Lucius, and Narcissa, not long after we did, and she took care of them as well." "Ron and Neville and I were close to Narcissa," Hermione said, "but Ron wasn't doing so well, and Neville didn't know what was wrong with her. I knew she was alive, but then George showed up and said you'd already been taken to Hogwarts. He took Narcissa, and Neville helped me get Ron. Neville was doing all right, but I wasn't feeling very steady," she admitted. "I barely even remember getting back to Hogwarts." She took a deep breath to steady herself. "Because it was chaos," she said. "Suddenly it was over, but there were so many injured to attend to. No one knew why the Death Eaters had collapsed in the first place, so no one knew if they would be waking up again at any moment. I think that's why those that were injured more severely ended up dying. They weren't a threat, and the Aurors were scrambling to bind all of them. The Order and everyone else was attempting to heal our own that had been hurt." "Everyone did their best, Hermione," Ron said. "I know, but..."
"It's not your fault my father fought for the wrong side," Goyle spoke up quietly.
Harry whipped his head around to stare at him. He darted a glance at Blaise. Why the hell hadn't Blaze told him Goyle's father had been killed in the battle? Why hadn't anyone told him? He glanced at Hermione, who looked horrified. She'd obviously not known either. The news had clearly been kept quiet, at least so far. It certainly wouldn't be kept quiet forever, but Blaze allowed Goyle to choose whether or not to tell them. Harry knew Crabbe's father had been involved in the Department of Mysteries at the end of fifth year, and was currently in Azkaban. Harry associated the younger Crabbe and Goyle as one unit and had somehow forgotten that Goyle's father would be fighting. And he was now dead. "I'm sorry," Harry said.
"It's not your fault either," Goyle said, shrugging uncomfortably. "I kind of guessed he'd end up dead at some point. That's why it didn't make any sense to follow him."
"But he was your father," Harry blurted out, wishing he could take the words back the instant they were out of his mouth. "Not all families are as close as the Malfoys, or the Weasleys," Blaze said. "I've had 7 fathers, and I can't say that I particularly miss any of them."
"That's true?" Ron asked. "Your mom's been married 7 times?"
Blaze simply nodded.
"There's something creepy about that, you know," Ginny said, leaning back to eye her boyfriend.
Blaze shrugged, noncommittal.
"I told you he's bad for you," Ron snapped.
Harry leaned back, staying out of it as Ron and Ginny argued. He was inclined to agree with Ron about Blaze's mum, as he'd heard the rumors as well. But Blaze wasn't his mum. Goyle seemed to appreciate that attention was diverted from himself, and Harry had to wonder if that had been Blaze's intention. Odd as it was, everyone was comfortable with the usual bickering. Harry had the feeling that no one else knew what to say to Goyle any more than he did, and moving on was probably the kindest thing they could do.
"Harry, how can you agree with this?" Ron asked, gesturing wildly to Ginny and Blaze. "I thought you liked Ginny, but then you just..." He spluttered. "You just give her to Zambini?"
Even when he tried to stay out of things, he was inexorably pulled back in, and he had no idea how to answer this one without getting himself in trouble. With everyone staring at him expectantly, though, he had to say something.
"I didn't give her to Zambini," he said.
"Close enough," Ron retorted. "You set them up."
Unfortunately, Harry couldn't argue with that point. He and Draco had schemed to hook them up, but he hadn't realized that Ron knew about it.
"Look, yes, I like Ginny," he admitted, "so I want to see her happy. I think she and Zambini make a nice couple, and they're the ones that actually decided to go together. It's not like I'm forcing them or anything."
"But you don't even know Zambini," Ron protested. "How can you know if he'll treat her right?"
"You're right. I don't know him that well," Harry agreed. Ron looked triumphant. "But Draco knows him, and I trust Draco."
Ron's face fell. Harry felt odd talking about them as if they weren't there, but he continued regardless. "Besides, I've gotten to know him a little, and I like him," he said.
"You trust him?" Ron demanded.
"Well enough," Harry said, shrugging. "I certainly trust Ginny to make her own decisions. She's a smart girl. She knows what she's doing."
"She's going with a Slytherin!" Ron exclaimed.
Harry arched a brow, and Ron's shoulders slumped.
"Yeah, I know," he said. "So are you. I think you're both mental."
"Nah, we've just got a rather wild sense of adventure," Harry said, smirking.
"Better you than me," Ron muttered. "I'll stick with Hermione."
"I don't think I like the way you said that," Hermione said.
Ron's eyes widened.
"I didn't mean anything by it," he defended. "I just meant that you're better than them."
"Granger's better than Draco and I,"
Blaze asked.
"Yes,"
Ron answered. He glanced at Ginny, then Harry.
No, he said.
"Bloody hell, I'm not going to win this one."
Ron had backed himself into a corner. Hermione still looked a little offended, but even she laughed, shaking her head at him. "What am I going to do with you?" she asked. Fondly amused, Ron offered her a sheepish smile, and she rewarded him with a brief kiss. The group continued to talk, although it persisted in being a rather rough conversation. Between difficult subjects and horrid past histories, it wasn't easy. Harry was relieved to transfer some of his attention to Victoria when she was ready for a morning nap. He got her changed and fed, ignoring Hermione's look of resignation as he asked Winky to bring him the things he needed. He didn't need to move from his spot in front of Draco.
"Go see Draco," Harry hissed to Lissa as he settled Victoria on his chest. "You will be more comfortable with him. But don't forget to turn yourself silver," he added. "I still do not understand his fear of yellow,"
Lissa hissed in return, but she obediently changed color as she slithered up Draco's leg. Harry sniggered.
"He's not afraid of yellow. He just doesn't like it. He likes you, though,"
he reassured.
"Master's mate is very strange, but does bear good young,"
Lissa said. Harry let out a burst of laughter, startling poor Victoria. He shushed her, rubbing her back soothingly as she quieted down again, almost immediately. "Is your bloody snake insulting me again?" Draco asked. No, Harry said, turning it into a question. "Harry," Draco warned. Harry grinned. "She thinks you're scared of the color yellow, and she thinks you bear good young," he said. The others slammed hands over their mouths to smother their laughter and not disturb Victoria again. Harry was positive Draco was glaring at the back of his head. "I'm not scared of yellow," Draco said haughtily. "I told her that," Harry admitted. "I don't think she believes me, though. You're always nicer to her when she's silver." "I am not," Draco protested, but he sounded doubtful of his own words. Harry shifted slightly, so he could rest his head against Draco's leg. "I'm afraid you are, Draco," he said. "You really don't like Hufflepuffs at all, do you?" Ron asked Draco, sounding rather curious. "They're not all bad," Draco said, his voice still conveying doubt. "I supported Diggory during the Triwizard Tournament, didn't I? He was a Hufflepuff."
"He was also competing against Harry," Hermione said dryly. "Likely you would have supported Ron before supporting Harry."
Draco made a strangled sort of noise that made Harry wish he could see Draco's face, but he didn't want to bother Victoria. He probably should have asked Winky to lay her down in the nursery, but he couldn't bring himself to let her go.
"Bloody hell," Ron said, wide-eyed. "You would have supported me before Harry."
"Well, he was Potter," Draco snapped. "What did you expect?"
He's still Potter,"
Ginny pointed out helpfully, sporting a wide, cheeky grin. "Yes, but he's not a scrawny kid like he was then," Draco said, ignoring all the other factors involved and focusing on the physical aspect. "Diggory, on the other hand, now he was hot." Harry felt his jaw drop. Surely his expression matched those of his friends. Blaise, however, didn't look the least bit surprised. His smirk was probably matched by one on Draco's face. Ginny recovered quickly.
"He was rather hot," she agreed. "Not exactly your type, though, was he?"
"You know, Weaselette," Draco drawled conversationally, "I find it extremely disturbing that we have the same tastes in men."
"You weren't with Zambini, were you?" Ron asked, horrified. "That would just be wrong."
"We haven't been together, but I'm curious. Why would it be wrong?" Blaise asked.
"Because Harry's already been with Ginny. But then, if you just switched partners, and then you're the opposite sex, or the same sex, and Ginny's already got something in common with Malfoy, for them to share you as well, it'd just be wrong,"
Ron finished, crossing his arms over his chest and looking confused. "We are not sharing Harry," Draco said. "He's mine. Why do you think I gave the Weaselette to Blaise?" Hermione got Ginny's attention.
"When he gets possessive of Harry, you tend not to notice the name-calling, don't you?" she said. "It's somehow rather sweet."
Grinning, Ginny nodded her agreement. Harry could only imagine the look of horror that must be on Draco's face right now.
"Malfoy's sweet when he's calling people names?"
Ron exclaimed.
"Well, when he's talking to Ginny," Hermione clarified. "With her, it's a warning to stay away from Harry. When he calls you names, it's simply insults."
"Of course," Ron said, looking no less confused.
"Don't trouble yourself trying to figure it out, Ron," Ginny said, rolling her eyes.
Harry ducked his head in an attempt to hide his grin. Draco's fingers were once again carting through his hair, and Blaise had snuggled Ginny closer. He knew he was happy where he was at, and Ginny looked to be perfectly content as well. A little bit of possessiveness wasn't a bad thing. He was rather relieved to see that Blaise hadn't taken the conversation the wrong way. Draco had accepted Harry and Ginny's past, and Blaise appeared to have accepted it too. If either Draco or Blaise had been the jealous type, like Ron, then there would have been a lot more trouble.
"Harry?" Hermione spoke his name hesitantly.
"What?" he asked, lifting his head to look at her warily. That tone of voice usually didn't bode well for whatever conversation followed.
"I was hoping Ron and I could talk to you," she said. "Privately."
"I'm comfortable," he protested. "Victoria's sleeping."
"I know," she said, "but it's important."
Harry frowned at her, wondering what she wanted to talk about. Her expression indicated that it was serious.
"Yeah, sure," he said. "Just give me a minute."
"I'll take Victoria," Draco said. Harry carefully shifted her into Draco's arms, then moved over to the other side of the drawing room with Ron and Hermione. He made sure to cast a Severus-proof silencing charm before they spoke.
"So, what do you want to talk about?" he asked.